Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
There is power, power in the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. What a joy it is to be with you this evening, as with Dr. Nunnally. I found out about it fairly last minute myself, but it's an honor to be able to give our pastor a moment of respite. And he needs that. He is carrying a heavy, heavy load. And what a dear man to set aside so much on his schedule to be here, to be pastoring this church during this period of time of transition. And wow, we've been blessed. Just so enriched by his ministry week after week. And thank God for it. I know that a number of you received this little Connecting Through Prayer booklet. This is a bit dated. Some of the content in here, but I trust it'll be a blessing to you. I produced this just shortly after taking the ministry in the prayer center in 06, and so it kind of actually follows the mission of Central Assembly, our connecting with God, with others, and our purpose in life. And so that's sort of the basic outline of this book. So use it and read it, as I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Well, I told Pastor David this is going to be brief, and I don't think most of us mind that. But I just want to share some reflections. One of the truly rich and encouraging parables in Scripture for me is the parable of the Good Shepherd. It's recorded in John 10. It's a comforting, beautiful parable, perhaps even more so in our challenging times that we live in. But the compelling message of that parable is that if I'll keep my eyes fixed on Jesus and listen to his voice, he will lead me, he will lead you and me safely and surely along the path that will lead to eternal life. And he alone and no one else, we heard that underscored this morning, he alone and no one else can lead us along that path. Amen? And so this will maybe touch just a little bit on the very profound message that Dr. Wave Nunnally shared with us this morning. And so the parable of the Good Shepherd is particularly significant to me because of experiences during my growing up years on a small farm in Idaho. Oftentimes during the late summer or early fall, after the crops had been harvested, my dad would rent pasture land to a shepherd who would bring his flock. They'd herd them right down the highway, and they'd come down our lane and into our fields, and they would graze on the grass and the stubble in the fields. It was always fascinating to watch the shepherd lead the sheep and observe his skillful dogs as they would catch the stragglers and bring them back into the fold periodically. And it was also interesting to see the sheep gather near the shepherd's tent in the late evening and bed down in a close huddle for the passing of the night hours. And so as a boy, I had a unique opportunity to watch in real life, in real time, a beautiful object lesson from Scripture unfold day after day. Sheep are interesting creatures. And in John's Gospel and other passages of Scripture, we learn that we're like them. Conventional wisdom through the years has led us to believe that comparison is not altogether flattering. The claim has been made that sheep are stupid, prone to wander, easily disoriented, and helpless against danger. Now, there's another camp, if you go online, there's another camp that hotly contends with that view of sheep and say that they're very complex, intelligent, and social creatures. I like that comparison better. And we have to remember, after all, that Scripture declares that we are created in the image of God. So there you have it. It's jointly agreed that sheep are highly valuable for what they provide, and we too are highly valuable by our Creator. One thing about sheep that seems to be apparent in Scripture and in real life experience is that they need to be tended. They have to be led. They need guidance. And we do too. A shepherd, if he's a good shepherd, understands that he will need to put up with a flock that is prone to wander and be disoriented. He understands also that he may need to defend them against attack from the outside to keep them safe from harm. Thankfully, we read in John chapter 10, verses 11 through 15, that we have that kind of shepherd in our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says of himself, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." How thankful I am for our good shepherd. And if we are to reach our destination safely, we must follow only one shepherd and heed only one voice. In John 10, verses 2 through 5, earlier, Jesus told his listeners, he said, "The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because, again, they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." I understand it is still characteristic even to this day for shepherds to name their sheep. Now, that must be quite a project if you have hundreds of sheep. I don't know how they keep up with all of that. But certainly as the sheep become familiar with the shepherd through daily relationship with him, they grow accustomed to his voice and learn to distinguish it from any other voices. Some years ago, I came across a fascinating piece of information along this line by J.L. Porter in a book titled Manners and Customs of the Bible. Porter had opportunity to observe the dispersion of several flocks of sheep which had intermingled in one area. There were thousands of them. Each flock was under the guidance of a separate shepherd. When it was time to move on with the flocks, this is what Porter observed, and I quote, "The shepherds led their flocks forth from the gates of the city. They were in full view, and we watched them and listened to them with no little interest. Thousands of sheep and goats were there, grouped in dense, confused masses. The shepherds stood together until all came out. Then they separated, each shepherd taking a different path, and uttering as he advanced a shrill, peculiar call. The sheep heard them. At first, the masses swayed and moved as if shaken by some kind of internal convulsion. Then points struck out in the direction taken by shepherds, and these became longer and longer until the confused masses were resolved into long living streams flowing after their leaders." These sheep, through close association with the shepherd, had come to know his voice and could quickly discern that it was his voice they were hearing. There are a lot of voices calling to us in the culture today, aren't there? There are many would-be shepherds who would like to lead us down their path. There are masses here and around the world who are being led by them. And how important that they be helped to tune to the voice of the Good Shepherd. our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the shepherd of our souls. How do we learn to hear the voice of the shepherd as we spend time in communion with him through prayer? As we read and heed his word, we become attuned to his voice and know the beauty of his presence. We get to know him. There was another significant thing I observed while watching the sheep graze on our farm. One of the sheep was a bell sheep. Wore a bell around its neck on a collar. You can always tell when the sheep were moving because the bell would be ringing. The sheep were accustomed to hearing that voice, They were guided by the sound of the bell, and the sound gave them direction as to when and where to move. The effectiveness of the bell sheep to lead was always directly related to its proximity to the shepherd. Other sheep in the fold were dependent on the bell sheep to be sure they were moving in the right direction. If the bell sheep was not close to the shepherd, the flock could be led astray. I thank God for the bell sheep in our church, like Pastor Jim and others on our pastoral team who serve us, our teachers who guide flocks in their classes week after week, and many others on the local and national district levels who lead in specific ways. And they walk close to the Good Shepherd, listening to his voice, heeding his word. Yet in a very real sense, friends, all of us who know Christ are bell sheep in our families, our neighborhoods, the marketplace, wherever we go. And through our lives and through our witness, we can help guide others in the way that they should take. There are those who watch your life and mine depending on us for guidance. Which way is the right way to take? And we have that opportunity to help provide that guidance. There's an old chorus. I'm going to ask Pastor Chad if he'll help me for a few moments here. A very simple chorus that really just kind of gets at the heart of this matter with the simple words, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, all along my pilgrim journey. Savior, let me walk with thee. Can you sing that with me? Thank you.